Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well, having a wonderful day. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Such a beautiful day we've given. So warm, so nice and toasty. Praise God. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we get ready to open our service. So good to see y'all. Come in and hear the choir practicing their beautiful songs they're singing. And it's give them a chance. They're ahead of us, so we're going to have to go ahead and catch up. We need to go ahead and clear our minds, release everything that's blocking up anything, get ready to worship and praise the Lord and for His message tonight. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, yes, yes. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise your name. Lord, we want to thank you for your many, many blessings, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. As we come to you tonight, dear Lord, we just want to praise you. We want to worship you, dear Lord. We want to open up our hearts and let you minister to us and guide us. Lord, we thank you for answering all the prayers this morning, all the situations that's gone out. Lord, being with those that have lost a loved one or a friend. Dear Lord, only you can comfort. Only you can direct us in the direction to go. But, dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house. And, Lord, we just want to worship and praise you. In Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Just while you're standing, turn to page 92. Just a little talk with Jesus.
My name alone, and just a little time with you.
time out at Purdy this evening. Praise God. I'm glad I got the choir backing me up back there, because I can sing lower and let them sing louder. Just praise God. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Do we have any announcements this evening? I don't have anything pending, do y'all? All righty. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be back in your house tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Bless each and everyone that's here with us tonight. Lord, bless the ones who cannot make it back tonight, Lord, for their sickness or just on vacation. We ask you to be with them, Lord. Lord, we now come to you and ask you to bless us all, Lord. With our Father, that need, and ask you to bless the very end of the month.
Amen. Amen.
on this earth, and let it glorify all that you are worth. For I am nothing, I am nothing without you. And
too tall to climb, no way to get over, no matter how hard you try, but somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling down? 'Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around, but the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
if you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen
Carter. Y'all come up and sing a song. Somebody has requested that Macy sing a song. He's a great, big, wonderful God, isn't he? That's what we're about to sing. Y'all worship with us.
Problem, any trouble. Let's do what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Let's all stand up and stretch. Amen. Stretch like this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know the words. What a mighty God we serve. What a little lower for me.
tell your neighbor, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, church. What a mighty God we serve. And then we're going to see who carries the most weight in this church, all right? Who has the most vocal ability. So all the women, we're going to sing together. Then we're going to go back and let the men sing. All right? Are you ready, women? Come on. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Chris, come and bring the message tonight. I want everybody to get involved. Amen.
Amen.
And pray for our brother. Just let the Holy Ghost have free reign tonight. Brother Chris, take your liberty in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
I thank God that He is mighty. I thank God that we serve Him.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, I'm not worried about what goes on in Washington, D.C. I'm not worried about what happens in the Capitol building.
Right.
Because my king is not in the Capitol.
No, he's not.
My king wasn't elected king.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
That's right.
I said he wasn't elected king.
Amen.
He wasn't appointed king.
Right.
He is the king
he is the
of
king.
Kings. He is the Lord of lords. There is no God higher than my God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Praise God.
That's an old song. I can remember singing that when I was young man. What a mighty God
Amen.
We serve.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember back in children's church, we would say, the angels bow before Him.
Right.
Heaven and earth adore Him.
Right.
What a mighty God we serve. I'm here to tell you right now, Brother Rowdy, if I don't praise Him, the rocks are going to cry out. And I don't want no rocks to cry out in my place. Hallelujah. We need to praise the Lord. We need to worship Him. We need to adore Him because He's worthy of all praise. Oh, come on, somebody. Has He done anything for you? Has He healed your body? Has He set you free? Has He saved you? Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. God is good. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 5 is where I want to go tonight. Mark chapter number 5. If I had a message title for tonight, it would just simply be Asleep in the graveyard. Asleep in the graveyard. Verse number 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus,
yes,
somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
And
cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Brother Eddie, if you would pray over the message and the messenger.
Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your many, many blessings. God, for this time that we can gather together, Lord, in your house, to be in one mind and one accord. Father, we pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch Brother Chris. God, give him that liberty tonight. God, to bring us what thus saith the Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, if there be any needs here tonight, God, we know that you are able to supply. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The message title came from a dream that I had a couple of months back. I was dreaming about somebody, and I was dreaming about their life and how they had been in the graveyard for most of their life. They had come to be so comfortable in the graveyard that they began to fall asleep in the graveyard. They began to take everything that was around them and be comfortable with it, even though that wasn't part of their life. That was not God's will for their life. As we look at the maniac of Gadara, we look and we say, my goodness, what happened to this man? We don't know much about him. We don't really even know his name. The Bible never mentions his name. We don't know how old he was. We don't know anything about his family.
Right.
But we do know that Jesus had crossed the sea. And if you look in Mark chapter number 4, it's kind of ironic, Brother Jim, but Jesus had just been on a sea with very, very high winds.
Right.
The waves, the winds, and he stood on the bow of the boat and he said, "Peace. Be still." And everything went quiet. The very next thing that happens, they come up to shore, and there's no break for Jesus. How many of you know he doesn't need a break? Amen. He comes up, and the first thing that he comes across is this madman. This madman had been in this situation for several years. He'd been in a situation to where nobody wanted to go by there. Nobody wanted to. Everybody, you can see back in the Word, where when people went to go through to get to a place, they would go around where the maniac man was.
Right.
Because they didn't want to. They heard him in the towns. They could hear him screaming, "Ah!" And they could hear him being in torment. But they knew that's a madman. But nobody stood up and said, "I'm going to go pray for that man."
Exactly.
Nobody stood up and said, "You know what? I can change things because Jesus said I had the power." Nobody stood up. Now, mind you, they had the power. They could have done that. But they didn't. I want you to notice something very important. Whenever Jesus stepped on that shore, the atmosphere changed. Everything shifted. The maniac man saw him, the Bible says, from afar off. And he came running. He didn't see him from afar off and hide. He didn't see him from afar off and say, "You know what? I wonder if that's Jesus." No, there is enough authority and there is enough power in the name of Jesus. When he saw Jesus, that demon-possessed man with over 2,000 demons had to run. And what was the first thing he did? He didn't stop and say, "Are you Jesus?" No, he came to his feet and he worshiped him. Why? Because even Satan has to worship Jesus. Because there is nobody more powerful than my God. Even Satan, somebody needs to get that in their spirit. Even Satan has to worship Jesus. Because He is the King of Kings. Amen. And He is the Lord of Lords. The maniac man came and he said, Jesus, let us go. He wanted to be so free. He wanted to be free, but he said, you know what? I can't because everything that's within me. He cut himself day and night. It's not something that just happened to him overnight. He didn't wake up in that condition. It was over years of time that he wound up in that condition. Everybody that saw him or knew of him knew that he was a madman, that he was crazy, and they wanted nothing to do with him. They were scared. They were in fear of what he could do because they were letting the devil go rampant. I want to tell you right now, sometimes we as Christians let the devil have a little bit too much play in our life. We let the devil do things to us that he has no business doing. We let the devil have his way in our life, and it's high time that we stand up and we say, devil, that's enough. Now that's enough. We were talking Friday night about the blood of Jesus. And I get to talking about the blood of Jesus, and the blood is precious to me, Brother Eddie. And I get to thinking about whenever Jesus was crucified on the cross. Back it up just a little bit. When he was beat with the cat of nine tails, he was bleeding. The Bible says his mother barely even recognized him. The blood was not dropping, it was pouring, Brother Eddie, from his body. With every beat of his heart, it was pouring from his body. The trail that went from the place where he was beaten all the way up to the place called Golgotha was called the Trail of Tears. It's known as the Via Dolorosa. One day I would like to be able to walk down the Via Dolorosa. But I did a study on that. For every drop of blood that Jesus passed on that Via Dolorosa, it was going up to be where he was crucified, as Brother Eddie mentioned this morning, where he was gave up the ghost. He wasn't killed. He gave up the ghost. Get that right. He didn't die. He gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. So every drop of blood was precious. I want you to know something. The devil cannot cross that bloodline. He cannot cross that bloodline. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, there is a blood that washes over you, that cleanses you. My Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. We as the church, we need to talk more about the blood of Jesus, because it ain't about me. It's all about Him. It ain't about what good I can do. It's about what God's done through me. Amen. When he saw Jesus, things changed. When he saw Jesus, he saw hope. He saw hope. He said, what is your name? The maniac man said, my name is Legion, for we are many. It wasn't just one. It wasn't two. It wasn't three. I can tell you something right now. There are people sitting in this church house right now. I don't believe a child of God can be demon-possessed. There ain't no way. God can't be there and the devil can't be there at the same time. It ain't going to happen. But I believe there's people in this house that are demon-influenced in your life. And you're letting the devil do things to you that he has no business doing to you. You're letting the devil persuade you and making you think thoughts that you have no business thinking. You're letting the devil do things. The old saying was, the devil made me do it. No, you did it. The devil just influenced you. And it's high time you stand up and you say, you know what? I ain't going to do it no more. I ain't going to do it no more. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. The problem is, we don't resist him. We meet him and we say, okay, devil, just do whatever you want. Would you let somebody come into your house in the middle of the night and break into your house and take whatever they wanted and not file a police report? No. Why? Because that's wrong. Why do you lock your doors at night? To keep bad people out. But yet we as Christians will walk around with our spiritual doors unlocked and we'll tell Satan, come on in and take whatever you want to take. Come on, somebody. This is real talking right now. We'll let Satan come in and you can take my peace, Satan. Go ahead, right on. You can give me some more stress. I'll take some more of that. You can let me have this sickness and disease. I'll take that. And you can let me have this and let me have that. No. No. It's high time where you say, no, I'm not taking no more of your garbage, Satan. I'm not doing it no more. I'm tired and I've had enough. This madman in verse number 7, and he cried with a loud voice, and he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Skip to verse 9. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he said, answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. This is where it gets good. If you're taking notes, take notes right here. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Little piggies. There was a great herd. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The devil can't go anywhere until Jesus tells him to. Get that. The devil is not going to move under your power of your name. He knows you, Jim Spear. He knows you well. He's known you from the time you were born. He knows what you like, what you don't like, your strengths and your weaknesses. And if you're trying to cast out the devil under your own name, it ain't going to work. You have to use the name of Jesus. In the devil, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. In the name of Jesus, I'm not doing it no more. Too many times we try to take up our cross. And we try to say, I can do this by myself. Brother Eggie sings a song that says, I can't even walk unless I'm holding your hand. Amen. I can't do it, Lord. And verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. 2,000. That's amazing. That's a lot of demons, y'all. There were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. It's fixing to get real good. I'm going to make a real good point right here. If you didn't know this, pigs can swim. Pigs can't fly, but pigs can swim. Come on, y'all. Lighten up. Are you alive out there? Pigs can swim. I thought about this as I was studying this, and I thought, if pigs can swim, then why did the pigs drown? It was part of God's plan. I'll cast them into the pigs, because the demons, they wanted to have mercy. But God said, I know what you're thinking. You're not getting off that easy. You're not getting off that easy. And he made the pigs to drown. And when the pigs drowned, 2,000 pigs drowned. Now, that's a lot of pigs. That's a lot at 300, and it's estimated that the pigs were about $315 a piece is about what they cost. That's about, if my calculation's right, that's about $70,000. That's a lot of money that these farmers were out. Watch what happens. These farmers, they go and tell everybody, hey, you ain't going to believe what happened. They didn't tell him, hey, look, the maniac man, he's free. They said, my pigs are gone. Everything that I'd worked for, everything that I hoped for, they were walking around. You know the poochy lip disease where you got your lips pooched out? Well, bless God, he did that for them, but look at me over here. God ain't never done nothing for me. We don't never say that to God. We don't never do that to God, do we? No, we don't never say, bless God, where's my blessing? You delivered them from demons. What about me, God? We ain't never done that. We ain't never said, bless God, that person out there is driving a fine car and I got a jalopy. That thing, I can't stand it. But you know what? It cranks up every time. It gets you where you want to go. Amen. Come on, somebody. We should be grateful and thankful for what God does for us instead of being down and out all the time. In verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Glory. Somebody say, in his right mind. Oh, come on. If that wasn't for nobody, that's for me. Amen. He was in his right mind. He wasn't cutting himself no more. He wasn't screaming out anymore. He wasn't in the tombs anymore. See, he didn't have any place to go. He had to have a family. He had to have a mother and a father, maybe a grandpa and a grandma, cousins, brothers and sisters. But they disowned him once he got to hanging around in the tombs. But we as Christians, we want to hang around in the tombs because it's all right. And after a while, it becomes second nature to us. It becomes something that we can be comfortable with. It becomes something that I told somebody the other day, I said, you can't expect to shack up with the devil and expect God to bless it. That ain't, it ain't going to work like that. God doesn't do like that. You want to, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. What did you do Saturday night? What did you do Friday night? God sees what you did before. And it's time to get it all out. It all comes out in the wash. Amen. It's time to get it all out. It's time to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You might fool the pastor. You might fool Brother Jim. You might fool even your best friend. You might fool everybody that you know, but you ain't fooled God. You ain't fooled God. So watch what happens. These men, they come and they see the man clothed and in his right mind. They didn't worship God, Brother Eddie. They were sore afraid. Why? Because they were afraid that Jesus was going to cast out the demons that were in their life. They were afraid that Jesus was going to do something to them. Carry me to church and I'll be in church and I'll sit right there and I'll sing songs and I'll... But don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to give up things, God. Don't ask me to do that. You know what? There's a lot of people within the United States of America that come to church every Sunday. Every Sunday morning. Every Sunday night. Every Wednesday night, they might even read their Bible. But you know what? They're lost. They're lost. They've got demons in their life they need to get rid of. They've got demons that have attached themselves to them they need to get rid of. They've got demons that they've courted with and they've become complacent with. They sit down right beside them. They lay down in the bed right beside them. And it doesn't bother them that there's a demon right beside them. It should bother you. If the Spirit of God is not with you every day, that should bother you. That should upset you. That should keep you awake at night. If the Spirit of God is not with me every single second of the day, I'm like, Brother Eddie, I'm addicted to Him. I got to have it. I got to feel His presence. I pray every morning, God, carry me wherever You want me to go. But if You're not there, I don't want to go there. If You're not with me, I don't want to be there. I will go wherever You lead me, but God, I want You to be there with me. Because I can only make it with You. So we court with the demons. We're not demon possessed, but we're demon persuaded. We hang around in the graveyards. You know what's in graveyards? I told my wife the other day and kind of got me in trouble. It was funny to me. It wasn't really funny to her. We were passing by a big cemetery. And I said, honey, reckon how many dead people's in that cemetery? She said, I don't know. I said, well, probably all of them. I mean, you know, probably all of them. Of course, I got a whack, you know. But, you know, when you go into a cemetery, you don't hang out there. You don't spend the night there. Why? Because there's death there. Satan is trying to kill the Christian. The Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not enough that he steals from you. He'll take your joy. He'll take your peace. He'll try to take your religion. He tries to kill you. Remember what God told Satan when he went to try Job? You can take everything that he's got, but don't take his life. Don't take his life. Job was covered from his head to his toe with boils. Would take a potsherd and just scrape him. He was in so much pain. His wife even came up to him. His friend said, what did you do wrong that all this is coming to you? His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, you speak as a foolish woman. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody needs to put their feet down and sink them in the sand and say, this is, I'm going to fight right here. God's behind me. I don't know who this is for. God's behind me and He's got my back and He's going for me. If God be for us, who Amen. Can be against us? And I'm right here, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Though it don't look real good right now, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Glory.
I just want Satan to know whose side I'm on.
Amen.
There's too many Christians that they kind of blur the line. I can't really tell what side they're on. Who are you for?
Right.
Who are you for?
Come on.
They post stuff on Facebook that's godly one minute, and the next minute they got cuss words and all this other. Come on now. Who are you for? I told my wife, I said, if you're going to take the effort to live for God, why would you take the effort to live for the devil at the same time? That doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm going to put effort into serving God, I'm going to put effort into serving God. Amen. That's like stacking a load of wood and then reaching around and pulling it back down again. That don't make no good sense just because you wanted to stack it up again. But a lot of Christians do that. They say, God, I want you on Sunday, and when I need you, Brother Eddie said a good thing the other night. He said, you know, we need God when we need Him. But the other times, we go without. I want God to know that I need Him every second of the day. Every second, every breath I take, every heartbeat, I need Him. But these men that had the swine, they were afraid. So much so that they turned around, Brother Jim, and they said, we were going to start some business right there, but we ain't going to start nothing now. Because Jesus might get a hold of us. Jesus might get a hold of us. There's a lot, I'm just going to be real, real plain. There's a lot of people that don't want to get Jesus on them. Because they're scared they're going to change your ways. There's a lot of people that, oh, hallelujah, that's for somebody. I'll go to church. I'll tell people I'll go to church, but don't get Jesus on me. Don't start with none of that Jesus business. Don't start with none of this and none of that and all this, that, and the other. Don't start. Why do you think they don't want people praying in Jesus' name? Come on, somebody. Come on, y'all ain't picking up what I'm putting down. Why don't they want them praying in the name of Jesus? Because there is power in the name of Jesus to loose every yoke of bondage. Right now we walk out that door right there and there's people that are bound. There's people that are bond in bondage. There's people that are just like that maniac man. And all they hear all day long is the chains. You ever heard the chains from the chain gang they used to have? That's all they hear is the chains. They're constantly reminded of how they can't do this and they can't do that. They're bound. They need to be set free.
Amen.
It doesn't take a big, long prayer. All it takes is the name of Jesus. All it takes is the name. Come on, somebody. All it takes is the name of Jesus to set them free. And so these men, they were like, you know what? That's Jesus. And I see what He did to that man. But I want to go live my way. I want to go do what I want to do. How many times have you heard it said before? I just want to do what I want to do. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I want to do what I want to do.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter number 37. You don't have to turn there, but it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. There's a lot of Christians that are just bones. There's a lot of Christians, I'll say it again, that are just bones. You once had fire. You once had passion. You once had a desire to serve the Lord. You once had a desire to go knock on doors and tell everybody that you knew about Jesus. And now, you're just bones. Now, you're just making noises. That's all bones do. They make noises. What we need, we keep talking about a revival. What we need is the Spirit of God. I refer to this oftentimes. Genesis 1:1 said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, Brother Jim, I learned this in children's church. If it's not light, Jesus, it's dark, devil. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Anybody getting that?
Yeah.
darkness was on the face of the deep. But Brother Eddie, that very next verse says, and the Spirit of God moved.
Yeah.
Woo, glory. I said the Spirit of God moved.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. You might be bones. And it's all right that you're bones, but I'm going to tell you something right now. The Spirit of God is fixing to move.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And He's fixing to wrap you in bones and sinew and muscle and skin. And He's going to do something better than that. He's going to breathe life back into you again. He's going to breathe life back into you again. What once was dead is going to be alive again.
Amen.
The prophet, I believe it was Elisha, carried an anointing in his body. So great so that whenever he died, they buried him. During that time when they buried him, it was an unrest time, somewhat like we have today. They didn't have time to cover up the grave, so his bones laid there open. There was enough anointing, Brother Jim, in the bones of that prophet. Oh, hallelujah. They came by and they saw the enemy coming. And they had a dead man with them. And they threw him in the grave with Elisha. And it touched his bones. The dead man sprung up to life. Why? Because even though you're dead, there can still be life. Even though you're dead, there can still be life. And Jesus is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we're walking around today and we have demons that we're carrying around, the demon influence, as long as you're a child of God, is never going to silence until we get to heaven. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be, you're not good enough. You're not this and you're not that and you're this and you're that. I don't believe. I go to Isaiah 61. Who hath believed our report? I believe your report, Lord. I believe what you say about me. I believe that you said that I was a son of God. I believe that you said that I had royal blood flowing through my body. I believe that you said I had authority over the devils, over the demons. I believe that you said that I am more than a conqueror. I believe that you said I can do in Philippians 4:13 all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Whatever situation might come, whatever thing might come, whatever demon I might have to face, I know that Jesus is with me, that He's going before me. And hallelujah, and even better than that, He causes the road to rise up and meet me. Glory to God. Brother Eddie said something this morning about having me in a shouting fit. He said, you know, Abraham had one son, Isaac. And he put him, glory to God, I don't know who this is for. This wasn't even in my notes. He put him on the altar. Woo! You got to understand a little bit about what's going on right there. Abraham, all he ever wanted was a son.
That's right.
All he ever wanted was the promise that God gave him. And he said, son, come on, let's go for a walk. We're going to go on a sacrifice. And they go up for a walk, and Isaac looks over and he said, if we're going for a sacrifice, shouldn't there be a sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? God will provide. Woo! God will provide. His faith was bigger than his fear. He stood up and he said, God will provide. He put his son on the altar. And Isaac knew what was fixing to happen. He picked that sword back up and was fixing to draw it. And all of a sudden, the angel stopped him. And he looked over. And there was a ram in the thicket. There was a ram in the thicket. I'm telling you right now, there's always a way out. God's always going to make a way out for you. But see that promise, hallelujah. And I got to thinking, Brother Eddie, when you was talking about that promise. And God told Abraham, because you were faithful, I'll make your, I'll make your seed more than the number of sand in the sea. I'm going to bless you. Everywhere you walk is going to be yours. Oh, don't you know I'd be walking everywhere. That's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. We as Christians, we need to start infringing on the devil's territory a little bit. That's mine. That peace is mine. That joy is mine. That hope is mine. My salvation is mine. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be depressed.
Hello.
Hallelujah. Because He's under my feet.
Yes, He is.
My Bible tells me when Jesus was born, when He gave up the ghost on the cross, He bruised the head of the serpent. Mm-hmm. If you know anything about a snake, if you got the head of the snake, all that snake can do is just wallow around. It can't really do anything. He bruised the head of the serpent. The devil can't do that no more. The devil can't do that to you no more. Quit letting him.
Amen.
The devil can't do that to you no more. Quit letting him do that.
Yes.
Quit letting him have his way.
Sure.
Quit sitting there right beside him. There's an old joke that goes, and a lot of ministers used to tell it, but the devil comes in the back door. And he comes in, and the church turns around and looks, and they scream and go out the side doors. The preacher's standing up there. There's a little member sitting right there. And he sits down beside the devil. And the devil says, "Don't you know who I am?" He said, "I know who you are." He said, "But devil, I'm surprised you don't know who I am." He said, "How's that?" He said, "I've been married to your sister for 40 years." But too many times we'll sit down by the devil. That's good. Amen or oh me. We'll sit down beside the devil and we'll say, "Whatever you want to do, do." Quit, y'all.
That's right.
Quit. There, you don't understand. There's enough power in you. All you have to do is take authority. All you have to do is say, "Satan, no more in the name of Jesus. Satan, I'm done with you in the name of Jesus." You open up that door and you kick him out. You've got authority to do that. Don't sit around and be passive and say, "Well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feeling." It's your soul that hangs in the balance. It's your soul that is either going to go to heaven or to hell. Which decision are you going to make? It's up to us down here how we live our life. I told him in Sunday school this morning, I refuse to live my life to know that I'm going to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Just barely make it in. No way. I'm going to march into heaven and say, "This is my blessed home. Hallelujah. This is the home that I've been looking for. This is the great land and the hope. Hallelujah. I'm going to see Jesus, and He's going to look at me and say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter ye into a land of rest.'" I'm tired of what the devil's doing. I'm tired of seeing the devil move. I'm tired of seeing the devil get on this one and get on that one and get on this one. And people say, "Well, it's just another day. It's just another day." I've had people tell me in 2020, "You know, it's just the time we live in." It's just, no, it isn't. That's hogwash. No, it isn't. It's time for Christians to stand up and say, "No, devil, no. You're not going to do this anymore. Take your hands off of my family. You don't have them anywhere. You don't have no authority there." And you start pleading the blood of Jesus over your family.
Amen.
It's time we got a little bit of Jesus on us.
On.
It's time, oh, hallelujah. It's time we got a whole lot of Jesus on us. You see, we get out into the river. And I don't know if y'all were like me, but whenever we went out to the beach, you know, it's nice to go out on the beach and you just take your shoes off and just get your feet wet, right? Well, when we was kids, Mom would always tell us, "Get your feet wet, but don't get up to your knees." Man, me and my brother would be up right there to it. Man, we'd be right there. "Don't splash me," and I'll, whoosh, you know. But too many times, it happened every time too. Too many times, we as Christians, we want to come into church and we're all proper. We look good. We feeling good. Our hair's just right. Looking good. Did you notice this new shirt I got on? It's looking good. My shoes, they're shined. They're looking good. I'm ready to go to church. But I don't want to get no Jesus on me. I'm ready to go to church. But God, don't mess up my hair today. I'm having a good hair day, God. For you ladies, my makeup is, what do y'all say? It's on point. My makeup is on point. I told Tabitha, I said, I know God didn't make me no woman, because I can't stand nothing on my face. Man, whew. You know, that chapstick stuff, no. I don't know how y'all do it. Whew, I can't do it. Everything's perfect. Everything's proper. We'll sit down on our little pew, and we'll sit down, and we'll say, "Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God." We'll walk out the same person we were when he walked in. Shame on you. I said, shame on you. You got in the presence of God. The maniac man got in the presence of God with demons. And he fell at his feet and he worshiped him. But we're too good to come worship God. Because it might mess up our makeup. It might mess up our hair. What if it messes up this shirt? So what? Get you another one. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about somebody who needs to be praised. Who needs to be worshipped. We come into church not expecting like we used to. Brother Keith, we used to expect God to do something. I'm expecting somebody to be healed. I'm expecting somebody to be delivered. I'm expecting somebody to be set free. Instead, the devil puts us in a complacent state. And he said, don't expect that. That's a little bit too much. Don't expect that. Just sit back and be quiet. And everything will be fine. And the whole time the devil's... He's lulling you to sleep. My wife knows sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I put on some easy listening music. And it don't take about 30 seconds and I'm gone. But the devil lulls us to sleep. Just like we do with the little babies. We take them in there and we just rock them. That's what the devil's doing to Christians. Every Christian is susceptible to that. You better watch it. When you start getting complacent in your Christian life.
Right.
And when you start saying, I don't have to read my Bible today. I'll do it tomorrow. He's rocking you to sleep.
Right.
He's rocking you to sleep. The more control that you let the devil have, the more that he'll get.
True.
You know, the old saying is, give him an inch and he'll take a mile. Give him a half an inch and he'll take a mile too. He's going to take whatever you're going to give him and he's going to go with it. There's an old song the Kingsmen used to sing that said, sin will take you farther than you want to go.
Amen.
Slowly, but wholly, taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. I'm telling you tonight, church, you've got things in your life you need to get right. Tonight's the night.
Yeah,
if you've got things in your life that you've been covering up, Brother Eddie referenced this morning about taking the dirt. You can sweep the whole house, taking the dirt and sweep it under the rug. I learned that real quick, being married. You can't do that because she'll find it. You know, she finds it pretty quick too. God knows what you did yesterday. He knows what you did last week. He knows the thoughts that you were thinking. He knows what happened, what transpired. He knows, but He still loves you. He still loves you enough to say, my arms are open for you. It's time to get it right. It's time to let it all out. Too many times we come to God and we say, God, you can have this, you can have that, and you can have this, but let me have this. Open the doors of your heart. When you open the doors of your heart and you say, I learned a long time ago whenever Tabitha had her heart surgery, the cardiac doctor came in there and I asked him, I said, it fascinated me. I said, tell me about the heart. The heart has many chambers. You have this chamber and that chamber and you have a chamber on the back side of your heart that nobody can see. And I thought about that and I thought, man, a lot of times we try to hide things deep in our heart. We try to hide things, Brother Rowdy, to where nobody else can see it. But we forget that the Maker who made us knows exactly where that's at.
Yes, it does.
We forget that there's a Maker who loves us and who wants the best for us. And we're walking around so ashamed at times as that maniac man was. Don't you know he was ashamed? The Bible said he was naked. Running through, cutting himself all the time, screaming and hollering, just acting crazy. Because all the demons were just tormenting him. They were just over and over and tormenting him. The devil wants the same thing for you, child of God. He wants the same thing for you. He's not going to stop until you're destroyed. He's not going to let you go until you're destroyed. You can't court the devil and expect to come out alive. It doesn't work that way. He's not going to just stop until you tell him to stop. He's not going to get out until you kick him out. It's time that we open our mouth and we say, devil, enough.
Amen.
Get out in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. I want to be free in Jesus' name. I said it before, you can't be demon-possessed and be saved, but you can be demon-influenced. If there's things that are going on in your house that you don't like, if there's things that you see that make you fearful, My Bible tells me that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to tell you what you do. You start proclaiming the name of Jesus. You get that anointing on, and you start anointing everything in that house. You open your front door and you open your back door and you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, you're getting out of here. I've had enough of you. Listen, you're a child of God. You don't deserve anything but to live in peace. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'll praise God to that. You don't deserve nothing but to live in peace. Glory to God. And He wants you to live in peace. Don't sit around patty caking with the devil. I want the music to come back up. And I want to sing, I just feel like we should sing Jesus on the Main Line. I love that song.
Amen.
Jesus on the Main Line. Tell Him what you want. Just call Him up and tell Him what you want. He's just one prayer away. All you got to say is Jesus. All you got to say is Jesus. He's there. He's there. Listen, I said it when I first opened up. There's a King who sits on the throne that rules and He reigns. There is an intercessor by the name of Jesus. Brother Eddie made reference to it this morning. That we can come to. And He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We can come to Him and He goes straight to the Father. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. Of both things above the earth, in the earth, and below the earth. Oh, hallelujah. That's power right there.
Amen.
So I want you to stand up. If you're facing something tonight, you ain't even got to tell nobody what it is. God already knows what it is. And you're tired of fighting them demons. You're tired of fighting them devils. And you're ready to just quit being dry bones. You're ready for a Holy Ghost outpouring. We used to say back in the day, get under the spout where the glory comes out. That's where I want to be. God, just let me get under that spout where the glory comes out. And I know everything's going to be all right. Brother Eddie said this morning, everything's going to be all right. Yes, it is. As long as you're in God's hands. Amen.
Go ahead, sister.
Jesus. Thank you.
I want us to sing that song again. Because also in a dream, God showed me walls of fear, of doubt, of discouragement. And He took me to the people that were walking around Jericho. They walked around Jericho, I've mentioned this before. 6 days, Brother Jim. They walked around Jericho and they were silent. They didn't say anything. The walls were high. The city was big, Brother Eddie. 70 feet tall were the walls. That's big. I can't make a 70 foot tall wall go down. I can't do it, no matter how hard I try. But that seventh day, Sister Jennifer, woo, glory to God. Come on, Brother Rowdy. That seventh day, He said, just open your mouth. Just say something. Just open your mouth and worship God. Just open your mouth. I just want a crazy praise to come out of you. Because He's under your feet. Oh, hallelujah. You don't understand. I'm going to the enemy's camp. And I'm taking back what He stole from me. Because if you steal something from me, it ain't yours in the first place.
Hallelujah.
Oh, so somebody worship the Lord. Somebody worship Him. He's under your feet. If you want the walls to fall, worship the Lord.
Look back what He stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet. I went to the enemy camp and I took back what He stole from me. Took back what He stole from me. Took back what He stole from me. I went to the enemy camp and I took back what He stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet. I went to the enemy camp and I took back what He stole from me. Took back what He stole from me. Took back what He stole from me. I went to the enemy camp and I took back what He stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. 10 lepers stepped out, cried, have pity on us. He gave sight to Barnabas there in the dust. A woman came to the well with a bucket, you know, but she left with a river in her soul. When heartache and pain are all around you, troubled waters of life, well, they almost drown you, then just reach out through that reaching down hand, 'cause Jesus is a miracle man, and He'll give you a miracle. I know He'll give you a miracle. I know Jesus will give a miracle, because Jesus is a miracle man. He gave sight to the blind, He turned water to wine, all at His command. He lived to the ruler's daughter, He allowed Peter to walk on the water. Jesus is a miracle man. He'll give you a miracle. I know He'll give you a miracle. I know Jesus will give a miracle, because Jesus is a miracle man. Because Jesus is a miracle man. Because Jesus is a miracle man.
in Him and never doubt. I know the Lord is gonna work it all out if you will just have faith in God. Have faith in God. Just have faith in God. Have faith in God. Just have faith in God. You can trust in Him and never die. I know the Lord is gonna work it all out if you will just have faith in God. You can trust in Him and never die. I know the Lord is gonna work it all out if you will just have faith in.
Around the news, and that angel would come down at a certain time of trouble.